Hey, Cross Point. I just want to say thank you for joining us today. We are so excited to be seeing you through the lens today of this camera into your living room. And I tell you what, it is so odd to not have you in this room. We're just really bummed out that we're having to do this way, but we're committed to bringing you some inspiration, some encouragement, some hope, and even maybe a little laughter as well. Tell you what, the last few weeks have been crazy. It's changed our patterns. It's changed the ways that we connect in our community. It's changed the way that we interact in all of our lives. And so we just want to bring a little bit of normalcy to your home today and to your life. And so, again, thank you for taking the time to join us today. And we're going to get after it this morning. Well, hey, Cross Point, welcome to the neighborhood. It's great to have you with us today. I tell you what, there's something powerful about that scene that we just saw. You know, Mr. Rogers had a way of making his way into our lives. In fact, he just talked about how he did that. He said, I would look into that lens every day and I'd try to get into the life of the children on the other side of the TV screen. And I think we had a way of identifying with that. I think we had a moment where we felt like that he actually understood what was going on in our lives. I mean, he talked about difficult things. He talked about things like war. He talked about things like divorce, things like death, sickness, things that bring anxiety. And I think that that was something that really brought value to us. I think there was something about being seen and feeling like we were being heard that brought value to our experience. In fact, I would even say that as we think about what it means to be a great neighbor, we want to be this kind of people as well. I mean, I think we all want to be this kind of people because we long to have those kind of people in our lives, just doing the little things that make the world a little better place. So, man, it's great to have you here this morning as we're continuing this series called How to Be a Great Neighbor. And my name's Kurt, if we have not had the chance to meet. And I want to have a little fun this morning. You guys want to have a little fun? I feel like it's been a heavy week. We've been dealing with some difficult things. Many of us have been homebound. We maybe are feeling the weight of that. So do you guys want to have fun? Yeah, okay, I see about five of you that are saying yes. So here's what we're going to do. I want to play one of my favorite games from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. All right, he is this game called Slay It or Spray It. You guys, anybody know this game? A few of you, okay. We're going to play this. And the way this works is I'm going to give you some lyrics, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a blank, and you're going to have to fill in the lyrics as the song continues. All right? And on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, like, if you don't slay the lyrics the first time, then you get sprayed with water. Now, I don't think we don't have water going through the TV sets tonight. Right? Okay, no water coming your way. We're just going to play along though. So here we go. I want you to listen to a few songs and then sing along. And then when we get to the end of the lyrics, see if you can fill in the blank. Here's a great song from Nirvana. Check this out. All right, now, truth be told, how many of us finished that lyric line with in containers, just out of curiosity? Yes, like 10 of you. All right, that's how I sing that song, but the reality is that's not the words right there. The words are actually, here we are now, entertain us. And so just a slightly different word, but an enormously different meaning. All right, here's one from Adele. Check this out. So how many of you fill that in with chasing penguins? Let me see your hands out there. Yes, like half of you. All right, that's what I would sing at the end of that line, but that is not the actual lyric. One day I thought, well, she's not chasing penguins. She actually says the name of the song. It's actually Chasing Pavement. All right, again, slightly different word, but an enormously different impact or meaning. All right, one more. You guys want to play one more? All right, here's one from Taylor Swift. Check this out. What kind of lovers does she have? Anybody say Starbucks lovers? Yes, like at least a dozen of you, right? Yeah, it's not Starbucks lovers. She actually has ex-lovers. Again, Sounds similar, but drastically different meanings. Now, you know what's crazy about this is this whole idea of listening closely to songs and mishearing lyrics. We do it all the time, and it's actually a phenomenon. It's actually this thing called mondegreen. Now, mondegreen is when a word or phrase is heard and it results in a mishearing of that word or phrase, especially in a song. And what that means is you hear the word or phrase and in your mind it registers because you're like, oh yeah, that word makes sense, but it's not the right word. And when we do that in lyrics, I mean, that's like somewhat humorous, right? As we did there with like Starbucks lovers. But when we do this in real life with like real life issues, it's not quite as humorous. Well, we're in week 3 of this series called How to Be a Great Neighbor, and we're talking about our mission. We're talking about how we're here to help people find their way to God. And this is our mission. It's not just a Crosspoint mission. This is actually an all of us mission. This is your mission as well. This is something God invites every single one of us into. In fact, the only way that it works is if we're all getting on board with this mission. Now, to kind of help us understand this, I want to connect this to the coronavirus with, you know, for a moment for us. Now just hang with me on this illustration, all right? What we're going for when it comes to mission is actually the opposite effect of what we're seeing with the coronavirus. There was an article this past week that the Washington Post did, maybe you viewed it, and basically they ran a simulator of how the coronavirus is spreading, and it was very, very fascinating. I want to show you a few sequences of this. The first one was this, and this was where everybody's moving in the community, and as you can see, the virus just begins spreading one person to the next because nobody's really pausing or changing their patterns. Everybody's just going about their business, and the virus quickly spreads and overtakes the entire community. And this is kind of what we've been began seeing happen here in our communities as this epidemic has taken off. And so one of the ways that we change this is they said if we begin to socially distance and we begin to slow and change our patterns, where maybe 7/8 of us are beginning to stay put, maybe only 1/8 of us are moving around in the communities. Take a look at this next sequence right here. This is what it looks like when fewer people are moving. The virus begins to spread much, much slower. And it actually allows those that do get it to recover so it doesn't overwhelm the health system. And this is very, very fascinating. Now, when it comes to our mission of helping people find their way to God, we are actually going for the opposite effect. See, take a look at this same sequence right here. If only 1 or 2 or 3 of us are on board, and that person's touching somebody's life and blessing them out of the blessing they've received, and that person blesses someone else, it slowly begins to spread, but it doesn't go very far, very fast. But think about if all of us get on board, if every single one of us are on board with when we realize we are blessed by God and our job is to be a blessing to others. Take a look at this next sequence. When we're all on board and we're all moving and doing this and we're touching people's lives and out of our blessing, we're blessing others, you can see how quickly things begin to move. See, in this series, we've actually been challenging each other to live out the Jesus mission in our day-to-day life. I mean, we've been saying, you know, that the part of how we do this is living out this blessing strategy. Now, this blessing strategy isn't anything new, all right? It goes all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. This is where God implements the blessing strategy. He says to this guy, Abraham, he says, I will bless you. And he says, when I bless you, I don't want you to hoard it to yourself. I don't want you to like go grab all the toilet paper off the shelf because, you know, you can. He says, I want you to receive that blessing so you can turn it around and bless others. He says, I will bless you and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Meaning you're going to get blessed so you can go and bless others. And so during this series, we've been using this BLESS acronym to help us remember it. And our hope during this series is this kind of jumpstarts our lives where we begin to build these practices into the daily fabric of our day in, day out lives. Now, I don't know that there's any better place to begin to understand this than looking at the life of Jesus. See, when we look at the life of Jesus, see, here's the thing we often miss. We often miss that Jesus did these things. Jesus was always blessing people. Everywhere he went, he was blessing people. He was so intentional about it. He was blessing people, and he was blessing places. In fact, last week, we challenged you to be a blessing to people with the first letter of the BLESS practice by beginning with prayer. This is something Jesus did all the time. And when you begin to pray, okay, God, who do you want me to bless today? Who are you putting in my heart to bless? And you pray for God to show you that. You begin to not only go out and do the mission, but you also discover the mission. And so you might say, okay, I'm on board with this. I'm ready. Who do I bless? Where do I go? Well, that's what you begin with prayer on. And God begins to put people on our hearts. In fact, last week, we asked you to take out a piece of paper or maybe the notes on your phone and just make a list of people. Here's my list right here. Just write down people that God is putting on your heart to be a blessing to. I have like 6 or 7 names here. Friends, neighbors, people that God put on my heart, a few places. And as you see, that when we begin to pray through, okay, God, who do you want me to touch today in a positive way and bring maybe some kind of goodness into their life, God begins to put names and faces in front of us. And so for you, who are the names and faces that you begin to write down? All right, and if you didn't make one of these lists last week, it's not a problem. Grab a scrap of paper right now. Grab your phone. Begin a list and just ask God to begin to reveal to you the people in your life that he wants to use you to draw back to him. See, over and over and over again, we see Jesus doing this. We see Jesus praying, and then as a result of that, it opens him up not only to doing the mission, but discovering the places God wants to use him. In fact, there's a story in back from the first century about a monk, one of these early Christians. And he lived all alone out in the desert, and he spent most of his time praying, connecting with God, most of his time studying scripture. And every now and then, he would come out of the desert down into this town to replenish his supplies. And every time he came down into this town, a couple times a year, he would go to this hut, he would buy the supplies he would need, and people would line up by the hundreds just to talk to him. And so this one man, he was really curious. He said, why do people line up by the hundreds? Why do people wait hours upon hours, days upon days to try to get in front of this monk, this one man, to just hear what he says? And so he decided he was going to check it out. He said, I'm going to go get in line myself. So he did. He waited hours upon hours. He finally had the chance to pull up a stool in front of this man that everybody wanted to sit with. And when he had the chance to do that, he discovered something. He found out that this man doesn't have anything all that profound to say. In fact, he would just sit there and listen. He listened. And what he discovered was people in our world want desperately to be heard. See, the question I want us to ask ourselves, are we listening? And see, this leads us to our second blessed practice. So last week, we looked at the first letter, B, which is begin with prayer. And this weekend, we're going to dive into the second letter, L, which is listen. And here's the thing. Jesus did this all the time. This is a game changer. In fact, Jesus modeled this in every aspect of his life, with every person that he encountered. I mean, he would do mind-blowing miracles. He'd turn water into wine. He'd heal people. But this ability that he had to act just like you and I, to do the very humane thing of just pulling up a stool, looking people eyeball to eyeball and actually trying to understand where they're at was a very, very powerful thing. In fact, here's one of these moments we see in Luke chapter 18. It says, when Jesus was coming close to Jericho, a blind man sat begging beside the road. The man heard the crowd walking by and asked what was happening. Some people told him that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by. So the blind man shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. The people who were going along with Jesus told the man, be quiet. But he shouted even louder, Son of David, have pity on me. And Jesus stopped and told some of his people to bring the blind man over to him. Now, I want to pause for just a moment right here because there's something here that I don't want us to miss. All right, Jesus wasn't looking for anyone to heal right here. Jesus was passing through. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was going through the town of Jericho. He didn't have an appointment to meet anyone. He, along with hundreds of others, were on their way to Jerusalem because it was the season of Passover. And yet in the midst of this, there was this hustling and bustling going on, something you and I are experiencing in our community right now. We're a little bummed probably hearing this, right? Because our community is kind of slowing down to a halt. In this community, it was bustling all over the place. Jericho was just a mess of people. I mean, think like 16th and Georgetown on Memorial Day weekend, all right? Or think about Symphony on the Prairie around 4th of July. I mean, just you know, tons and tons of people. And all these people around, and all of a sudden there's this blind man standing off in the distance, and he sees Jesus coming by. He's standing in the fringe, and he calls out, Jesus, Son of God. And see, here's something fascinating about Jesus. Jesus, he looked for people in the shadows. Jesus had this way of noticing people that other people didn't notice. Jesus often looked eyeball to eyeball with people who other people overlooked. And so when Jesus hears his voice, he pauses, he walks over, and he says to his friends, hey, bring that man to me. Take a look at what happens next. It says, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, come on. Everybody knows what's going to happen right here, right? I mean, here's a blind man, calls out to Jesus. Jesus goes over and heals him, right? Everybody knows what's going to happen. Not so fast. I want us to notice what took place right here. Jesus asks a really important question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it seems like somewhat of a silly question, right? Because, I mean, everybody knows the dude's blind. I mean, it's obvious what he wants, right? I mean, why would Jesus ask such a ridiculous question? See, I think Luke, who's writing this, remember Luke, we talked about Luke a few weeks ago. Luke is the one who sat down, he's a medical doctor. He said, hey, I've thoroughly investigated all of this, I've researched it, and I put an orderly account together so that you can know exactly what took place when Jesus was right here among us. See, I think Luke wants us to see something about the person of Jesus. And I think he wants us to see that Jesus is not someone who operates off of assumptions. So he asked the question, what would you like me to do for you? And the man said, Lord, I want to see, he answered. Jesus replied, look, and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith. See, Jesus asked questions. He didn't assume. And he sat down eyeball to eyeball and he listened. Over and over and over again, we see Jesus. He's listening. I mean, sometimes we forget this. We get so caught up with the miraculous, you know, the walking on water, you know, the speaking a word and the wind and the waves, they calm down, the multiplying of the fish and loaves. And Jesus often does the ordinary, something you and I can do every day, just the listening. And this is what leads to incredible things. Now, as I was preparing for this weekend, I kind of did a little introspection, a little reflection. I asked myself, how often do I do this? I mean, how often do I actually ask my literal neighbor, you know, man, how are you doing? What can I do for you? How many times do I ask the person at the checkout counter, hey, you know, how you doing? Without, you know, just kind of trailing off, and, oh, yeah, good, good, I'll catch you next time. I mean, how many times do I actually ask the question and pause long enough to listen to the answer? See, my kids, they have this way of like calling me out on this. They'll often come home from school at the end of the day. And when I get home, I'll say, hey, tell me about your day. I want to hear all about it. What were the highs? What were the lows? And they'll start telling me. I'm like, awesome, awesome. That was so cool. And then they might say something like, well, then, Dad, I tripped and my books fell on the floor. And as soon as I picked them up and leaned over, my backpack just emptied out in front of me and everybody was laughing. And I'm like, oh, cool, awesome. And they're like, Dad, what's so awesome about that? That's terrible. I'm like, oh, yeah, what'd you just say? Because I'd checked out. It's like my typical go-to, cool, awesome. I mean, we do this all the time, right? They call me out. Why do they call me out? They call me out because they want my undivided attention. They want my full attention. Everywhere Jesus went, he gave people his full attention. He listened. If we want to bless people this way, we've got to be willing to pull the stool up and take some time and ask the question. We've got to be willing to listen to God. We've got to be willing to listen to people. We've got to be willing to listen to places. Now, let me tell you what I mean by listening to places. Many of you know the Village Project Africa, which is an initiative that we are a part of here at Cross Point, where we sponsor these, you know, 350, 400 high school students in Kenya, Africa, by providing their school supplies every single fall. It's a phenomenal thing. Some of you have had the chance to go over and actually see these handed out. Well, this wonderful woman, Margaret Lewis, she was the founder of Village Project Africa. And if you would just see this image right here, I mean, this school that's just, you know, ginormous, I mean, it's 1,200 students right now, you would naturally assume, my word, she must have had a really clear vision of starting a school, and she executed it effectively, because look at what's happened. It's amazing what's happening over in Makutano. But see, that's not quite the story. See, 11 years ago, when Margaret Lewis visited this little village of Makutano for the very first time, her dream wasn't to start a school. In fact, her dream, the reason she went to this little village is because she had met a young man who was at a Bible training school, and he invited Margaret to come to his village. He said to her, Margaret, there's just something really special that God's doing in this community, and I want you to come see it. See, Margaret was a widow, and there were all these widows in this little town of Makutano, and he said, I just think there's a ministry for you here among the widows. And so she went to this little community because she felt like God was calling her to serve these women who had lost their husbands. But see, she led with the question, what would you like me to do for you? And the answers she began to get were not what she expected. She expected she might hear things like, well, we just need to, you know, somebody to coach us, somebody to mentor us. Maybe we need some financial assistance. We need some help with, you know, getting through the day-to-day things, maybe a Bible study. But that wasn't the answer to the question. When she asked the question, what would you like me to do for you? All these widows unanimously said, we need a school. we need our preschoolers to have an education. It's not the answer that she thought that she would get. See, the same is true in Kenya. It's true here. When there are kids in poverty, the one thing, the lever that gets them up and out of poverty is a preschool education. And so she said, well, I can do that. She was a librarian by trade. And so she partnered with Davis, and they rented this small little hut, this small little 13 by 11 foot mud hut, and they opened this preschool for 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And wouldn't you know, the very first day they opened, they had 50 kids show up, 50 preschoolers show up. And she heard this, she said, oh my word, this is terrible. We can't do this. We can't have 50 kids in one small little hut. We've got to get another hut. And so they rented another hut right next door, and they opened the second classroom up to separate these 50 kids, 25 into each building. And the day they opened that hut, 50 more preschoolers showed up. And they had 100 kids among these two huts. She said, oh my word, we can't do this. This is terrible. We need more space. So the owner of this land, this businessman, he built a third mud hut off of his house where they could house a third classroom and separate these 100 kids into 3 different areas. And the day they opened that third classroom up, another 50 preschoolers showed up. So she had 150 preschoolers showing up in 3 classrooms with 1 teacher and 1 assistant in each classroom. And she finally looked up at God and she said, okay, God, I get it. You want me to have 50 kids in every classroom. All right, we're going to figure out how to do this. But see, in the midst of this, this began with going to God in prayer. God, what's the location, the area you want me to go to? And then she asked the question of these widows, what would you like me to do for you? And here we are 11 years later, over 1,200 students, families who are being educated. And not only are they being educated, but people are finding their way to God as a result of her simply listening to this location. See, I think God wants to do the same thing through you and me. Listen, there are people all around us that we're working with right now. We're not sitting next to them, but we're working through Zoom windows. There's people all around us that we've been connected to, that we are communicating and networking with in different ways right now, that are struggling. They're trying to make sense of this current situation we're dealing with. There are people in your neighborhood right next door that God may be calling you to listen to. And maybe it's not going over and knocking on their door and taking them food. Maybe it's a text, or when you see them go out to the mailbox, hey, how you doing? How you guys doing? Anything we can do for you? I was on a call with our mayor of Fishers here just earlier this afternoon, Mayor Fadness. He's giving an update to our faith leaders here in our community. And he said, you know, I know a lot of churches are asking, you know, what can we do? We want to be doing something tangible to help people in the community. And here was his answer verbatim. He said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to stay home. That's what we're asking everybody to do. We need you to stay home. The needs are all getting met in our community. You need to stay home and take care of your neighbors. I thought, oh my gosh, that's what we're talking about right now. You need to stay home and listen to your neighbors and see if anybody needs medication. See if anybody needs food. See if anybody needs some encouragement. This is the very thing that God uses to help people find their way back to him. See, I recently heard that there are 3 levels of listening. And regardless of whether you're a natural listener or you've kind of had to learn how to listen better, we can all up our game. We can all kind of level up on this, all right? How many of us, just out of curiosity, played Simon Says growing up? All right, yeah, I see about all of you out there. All right, so just do this with me real quick, all right? Simon Says, touch your head, all right? Simon Says, touch your toes. Simon Says, pat your belly. Simon Says, touch your nose. Touch your ears. Oh, yeah, look, you guys, most of you, a few of you that didn't follow along. Most of you followed along, right? This is level 1 listening right here. This is listening for information. Listening for information is level 1 listening. This is where we're listening for some kind of information that we need to take in. This is what we teach our kids. This is when we're talking about our schedules. Hey, here's where I'm going. Here's what I'm doing next. This is level 1 listening. The second level of listening is what we call listening to respond. Now, this is where most of us live most of the day, right? We're listening, we're in conversations with people, and while they're talking, we're actually listening and thinking, okay, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Okay, boom, because we want to say something. But the third level of listening is where the blessing really begins to take place. See, the third level of listening is listening to understand. Now, this is listening to connect. This is listening to empathize. This is noticing body language. This is picking up on the nonverbal cues. This is listening to hear what's really, really needed. So I think one of the biggest things that gets in the way of us, you know, being a great blessing to people is so many times we just don't listen. I think we make too many assumptions on what someone might need. I met with a friend this past week that we met over a cup of coffee. And he is in the midst of his cancer journey right now. And while he's on this journey, he's also in the midst of his coming back to God journey. A number of years ago, he grew up in the Catholic Church, and he checked out of the Catholic Church, you know, and became an adult because he felt like it was irrelevant, like God just wasn't relevant to his life. Just like many of us probably have had the same experience regardless of what church we may have grown up in. And so when we were having coffee this past week, I just asked him that question. I said, hey, what can I do to help? Because see, when you ask that question, you begin to hear somebody's current location. And he shared with me, you know, just the frustrations and how he thought he was through some of his treatment, but now he's discovered that there's probably going to be more and the cancer probably isn't gone. But see, what I discovered by asking that question is he's looking for something far, far deeper. He's looking for somebody to just sit across the table and encourage him. He's looking for somebody that can just bring a little bit of encouragement into his life. Somebody will text him. Somebody will ask the question, hey, how you doing today? One of the things I discovered a few years ago when my wife went on her cancer journey is a lot of us, we don't know how to approach people when they're dealing with things like cancer or when they've lost somebody close to them. In fact, at the Leadership Summit a few years ago, I heard Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, talk about this herself. She talked about losing her husband, and she talked about how he died unexpectedly and how after his death, it was really difficult because so many of her friends, they were couple friends, and so they didn't know how to respond to her once her husband was gone. And she said, one of them even said at one point, she said, I don't know how to talk to you about this. I don't even want to bring it up because I don't want to remind you of this event. And she said something really fascinating. She said, I looked at her and I said, you know, you can't remind me of something that I think about every day. In fact, I think about every hour. She said, it's okay to bring it up. Bring it up with me. I'll tell you if I'm struggling with it today. I'll tell you if we need to move on to another conversation. But don't feel bad, you know, bringing it up. Man, I'm telling you, when we have a posture of understanding, this is huge. When we take a posture of empathizing, this is huge. When we take on a posture of curiosity, this is huge. I love what Bill Nye, the science guy, used to say. Everybody remember Bill Nye? Yeah, Bill Nye, he said, everyone you will ever meet knows something you don't. I mean, what if we approached every single conversation, every single person we interacted with open-ended questions? Hey, how's it going? How did that make you feel? Tell me more about that. Because see, everyone has a story that needs to be heard. And so this week, what I want us to do is I want us to think about the people that we wrote down on this card. When we went to God in prayer, I want us to think about the people that are on this list, the people and the places that God has put on our hearts. Who did you write on this card? In fact, as we kind of wrap up here, I want us to pull out our device. I want you to go to your next steps in the app. There's some next steps listed there. And I want us to just work through these before we wrap up. You know, the first one on there is just joining us next weekend. I hope you'll be back and join us on this digital platform next weekend as we come to you in the same form. But then I want to ask you next to do one of these blessed practices every single day. You've got two of them so far, so maybe it's continuing to do the first one, beginning every day with prayer and just saying, okay, God, who else do I need to add to this list? Or maybe it's adding to that and saying, okay, I'm gonna do the second one. I'm gonna do the listening part, and I'm gonna pray that God gives me opportunities to begin to have open dialogues with the people who are on this list where I can then just listen to what's going on in their life. And I tell you what, you might begin to become aware of emotional needs that are going on, that you might be able to come alongside them, especially in the midst of this time where we're socially distancing ourselves. you might become aware of physical needs. Somebody might need things like toilet paper or medication, or maybe they're out on some food, and you might be able to fill that need. You may even come across some spiritual needs where you have the chance to tell your story and a bit of what God's been doing in your life. One writer put it this way. He said, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. Think about that. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. See, this is why I think Mr. Rogers just had this unique way of making his way into our lives. Because he'd look through that camera lens and he'd identify with the things we were feeling. And we felt like we were heard. We felt like we were understood. And this can happen through any lens. It can happen through a Zoom window this week with a colleague or a friend or your small group or a neighbor. It can happen through a phone call. These are the places where we understand the location of the people that God is putting on our hearts. This is how we live out the Jesus mission, where we get beyond just hoping people find their way to God, and we're actually actively helping them find their way to God. I'm telling you, this week, there's so many people around you that are struggling. They're struggling to make sense of what's going on around them. They're struggling to make sense of how are we going to get out of this current situation. They're struggling with hope and the impact of the coronavirus. I mean, they're struggling on so many fronts, and I guarantee you, if you take time to ask, how are you? What can I do to help? You're going to be amazed at what you begin to hear. And I think God is going to open up some amazing pathways for blessing this week. Now, you might be wondering, okay, how does this happen? I mean, with all this shutdown and I can't leave my house, how do I do this? Well, let me share something with you as we close. I came across this blog this week, and it's called God's Plans Are Greater. It's called A Beautifully Burdened Life. That's the blog name. And I want to just read this. This is a dialogue between our society and God, and I just want to read it for you as I wrap up. See, as a society, we're saying to God, God, what about my plans? And God's saying, my plans for you are always better than your own. Don't worry, I'm going to work all of this out for your good. But we're not going to get anything done. That's the point. You know, how long have you been spinning your wheels, always working, moving, doing, but never feeling satisfied? I've given you permission to stop. I've cleared your calendars for you. Your worth isn't tied to busyness or accomplishment. All you have to do is take care of each other. Yeah, but what does this all mean? It means I'm in control. It means you are human and I am God. It means I've given you a wonderful opportunity to be the light in a dark world. It means you're going to learn to rely on me. Yeah, but what are we supposed to do when we can't leave our homes? Rest. You're always so busy and overwhelmed, crying out to me, weary and exhausted. Can't you use a break from your fast-paced, overscheduled lives? Go ahead and rest, pray, love your family. Be still and spend some time with me. You mean we're supposed to stay home with our kids all day, every day? Yes. And you're going to be just fine. This time together is a rare gift. The rush of life has come to a halt. Play games, bake cookies. Work on projects you've never had time for. Teach them kindness and grace. Show them how to endure difficult circumstances and steer them toward me. But we better start hoarding anything we can get our hands on. Prevention, yes. Precaution, yes. Even preparedness, yes. But after that, it's time to put the needs of others before your own. When you see someone in need, help them. Offer up what you have. Do not worry about tomorrow. Haven't I always taken care of you? Now, go take care of someone else. God, why is this happening? To remind you that I'm in control. To bring your attention back to me. I'm bringing you together as families and neighbors. I'm showing you patience and perseverance. I'm reminding you of your purpose and priorities. Now is the time to learn and to teach your children what this life is really about. Yeah, but we don't know who to believe. Believe in me. Trust me. Ask me for wisdom, and I will surely give it. Yeah, but we're scared. I've got this, and I'm with you. Oh, Heavenly Father, Man, I just pray right now for every single one of us that are within earshot of my voice right now. And I tell you what, it's been a week. It's been an interesting week, an ever-changing week. And many of us are just exhausted. And I just pray that every person that's listening right now, that they would experience and hear your presence and feel your presence and sense your presence in an undeniable way. God, I pray that you'd help them know that they are loved and that they are heard and that they are seen and they are blessed, and they're blessed not just for their own good, but to be a blessing to others. In fact, every single one of us right now, Father, I just pray that you would give us a vision of what it looked like if every single one of us would just intentionally set out this week to bless one person, just one person on our list this week, God. And give us a vision of the ripple effect that that will begin to make all throughout our community. And so, God, we just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. We want to thank you that he came to save us and to bring us your grace and your life. There may be some of us right here, right now, that just want to receive that grace, that want to receive you into our lives. And so we just say, yes, Jesus, we want to know your grace. We want to receive your goodness and your grace in our lives. And we pray that you take all of our sins. And Father, as a result, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? And would you empower us with your Holy Spirit this week? And would you send us out into our neighborhoods, into the people around us, and through Zoom windows to be a blessing this week, and that people might find their way back to you as a result? God, help us to live out of your Spirit. In your name we pray.